Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Warning: the following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the Spooked Girls. True crime that makes you hypothermal with the three Spooked Girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you. Along with the Spooked Girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. Spooked Girls. The three Spooked Girls.
Hey there, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Jessica, and as always, I'm joined by my favorite ghoul friend, Tara.
Hey, Spooksters.
We are back for the last Monday of every month, which is our listener encounters. If you want to submit a listener encounters to us, please do so at our email, which is 3spookedgirls@gmail.com. That is the number 3. It's not written out. It's just the number 3spookedgirls@gmail.com. If you want to hang out with us on social media, you can do so by heading over to Facebook, Instagram, X, or Threads. Our handle is @3spookedgirls. We also have a fantastic, amazing, wonderful Facebook group, which is very, like, y'all are popping in there. And we do things like book club. We do our gift exchanges in there. I mean, the memes that go in there, just, I cannot stop cracking up at most of them. Also, it makes me really sad when I'm like, oh, I want to share this. And y'all have beaten me to it because it's literally from y'all.
Yeah.
It's just a great place if you're looking for a fun and kind of like safe haven on the internet to where you can hang out with like-minded people. That's definitely our Facebook group because everyone's really respectful and we're really like, you know, it's just our own little slice of internet heaven, if that makes sense. Also, if you want to help support the show, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/3spookedgirls. For little as a dollar, you get a bonus episode each month. $5 and up patrons get video content and ad-free episodes, and you get it the day before. So if you are jonesing for your next Three Spooked Girls hit, you can definitely get it a day earlier than the main feed if you are on Patreon. Definitely check that out. We got different levels for different things, so you can, you know, see what we have to offer. Tara is on TikTok. If you enjoy watching TikTok, and especially true crime, or just right now, she has an amazing series that she's talking about some great true crime movies. It's fantastic. You should check them out. By the way, I just love when you pop up on my For You page because I'm like, I know her. That's my best friend. I love her so much. message and like repost. But definitely check it out. Her handle is spooky_sleuth. Both Tara and I are now on Substack. Tara's is, she's treating hers a little more like a blog. I'm still figuring out what I'm doing with it. I have one thing posted. If you are a patron or were a patron and you remember I did Slaughters, I've written a Slaughters review of a movie over there. So you can definitely go check that out. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and dive into our listeners' encounters that you've all sent us. So I'm going to hand it to Tara to do so.
Okay. Our first story comes from Grant. Grant has sent us all kinds of amazing spooky stories. So here we go, guys. This is called The Hallway Guardian. The first one started when I was 8, I believe. I was living in Arizona at the time in Apache Junction. I was sitting inside playing on my Sega Master System. Yes, I'm old. Well, so are we, so it's fine.
It's a very reputable gaming system back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And I was playing Phantasy Star. This was the first one with Alice fighting Lassik. This would have been around 1989. It was hot outside and it was summer, and summers in Arizona can be brutal. I've always been more of an indoors nerd than an outdoor sports guy. I was sitting on the couch, which was set up where the hall to the bedrooms was long ways behind me, extended by the couch's back. To the right would be the bedrooms, where the hallway to the left was extended by the back of the couch and into the kitchen. I heard something at the kitchen entrance right behind me, like a footstep on linoleum. I was super focused on the game, so it didn't register fully, as I was home alone, like I usually was. Latchkey kid here, and my mom worked swing shift. She was a single mother, and I was the only child. Once the noise finally registered in my head, I paused my game and went to turn my head to the left to see who it was. It was at this point that I saw someone walking down the hall to the right. I snapped my head that way, and the person I saw wasn't there, although I still heard footsteps on the carpet from hard shoes. That, like, squish, squish sound. Now, as I sat there in shock, I tried to understand what I had seen. It was a gentleman with dark brown hair in a gray pinstripe suit and hat. It very much looked like a gangster from the Prohibition or one of the G-men who hunted them down. I just quickly saw him walking away from me down the hall to the bedrooms. Eventually, I saw him again in the same manner, but this was a month later and at night. It was the same image, pinstripe man walking away. The image, although shocking, didn't scare me this time. It felt comforting. Now, the suited man didn't make any sense, as the area is not exactly known for gangster activity and is jokingly referred to as Arizona's largest trailer park. I didn't see him for a while until I moved to Oregon with my mom. One of the places we lived in had a long hallway, and I left my bedroom at the end of the hallway and quickly saw the image of him walking away from me down the hall. Again, I was shocked as the memories flooded back, but I also didn't feel scared. At this time, I decided he was there with me for some reason and called him my hallway guardian ghost. When I moved into my first apartment, my roommate saw him walking down the hallway from here when she was going to the kitchen. She didn't feel alarmed but comforted. We called him Robert Anderson. Her last name was Robertson and mine was Anderson. After that, it was a periodic sighting and we could never figure out the rhyme or reason, but eventually we stopped seeing him. Finally, I moved to Reno, Salt Lake City, then San Jose, California. It was in San Jose that the last incident happened. We were renting two rooms from a couple who were nice, but a little chaotic. The girl, we'll call her C, had one of her friends over who apparently was sensitive. I walked out from the office to the bathroom and at the end of the hall, used it and came back out. The friend asked me who the guy was. I looked confused and she said there was a guy who came out of the office, which was off the living room where they were sitting, and followed me to the bathroom at the end of the hall. He had a gray pinstripe suit with the hat and dark brown hair, but the hat was lowered so she couldn't see his face. All the memories came back of Robert and I just looked at her and went, "Oh, he's still here." Then I explained to her and she nodded and said that he does seem like a protector of you. I have not seen him since, but wherever I live, there's always something that happens in the spooky realm, like feeling watched or there's someone behind you, usually in reference to the hallway. You do have a straight up guardian ghost. I love that.
You do. Okay. Our first story comes from Gracie. Hi, Tara and Jessica. My name is Gracie. I'm new to your podcast and I've been following y'all for the past month. My spooky encounter starts off when I was 13 and the year was 2013. I was home alone while my family was at work. I got up from the couch and headed upstairs to go to my room. As I got to the stairs, I stepped into the landing and looked up. I saw a person run straight in front of me at the top of the stairs. The person ran from my brother's room to my parents' room. Mind you, this person, I distinctly remember how they looked. He was a tall figure wearing khaki shorts and a blue shirt, teal running shoes, and had a brown trucker hat on. This is a very convoluted outfit. Mind you, no one was home except for me and my dog, Cece. As soon as I got to the top of the stairs, I looked around to figure out what was going on. I go to my parents' room and look everywhere and no one is there. And I go to the other end of the house and check my brother's room and my rooms, and no one is there either. Sorry to ramble on, but this was my spooky encounter. I hope you all enjoyed the shadow person I encountered. Love y'all. Stay weird, spooksters.
Alrighty. My other story for the episode comes from Mandy, and Mandy writes, "Hey girlies, my name is Mandy, and I've been a listener for about 3 to 4 years now. I want to start off by saying thank you ladies for bringing light to so many true crime stories and for keeping me company during my long work days." You're welcome. This is going to be a pretty long one, so strap in and don't get too spooked. It was October 24th of 2020. I was a senior in high school at the time, and this particular night, I was having my 18th birthday party. Everything seemed normal until I lied down to go to bed that night. My two best friends, let's call them K and M, were asleep on the couch and I was in bed. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment with a loft, and my bedroom was in the loft, therefore, there was no door, just steps leading up to my room. My mom had got me a dog on October 20th of 2020, and he was already attached to my hip. I named him Klaus. Klaus slept in my bed every night, and I truly believe that if he wasn't there on the night of the 24th, something really bad would have happened. So he was sleeping at the foot of my bed and I was asleep as well, my back turned towards the stairs, when I started dreaming. In this dream, I was asleep in my bed. There was a soft glow in the room where I could see everything very clearly. In the dream, I was in the same position I fell asleep in, with my back turned towards the stairs, but I could see the whole room as if I was sitting up in bed. Then out of nowhere stands a black figure at the top of the stairs. This figure was dressed in a long black coat with the hood up. They had no facial features, and it looked like it was just a black shadow underneath the cloak. I usually sleep in the fetal position, and this night was no different. It looked as if the figure was hovering over the floor as it turned and started towards the foot of my bed. I watched as it dipped its shoulder and, oh my god, and ran its hand along the foot of my bed. Ugh, never turning its head and never stopped moving. When it got to the corner of my bed, it lifted its hand slightly and put it on my dog, then turned to come up the side of my bed. Still moving, it ran its hand across my dog's back and up the side of my bed, coming closer to me.
Stop touching the dog!
Literally, poor dog. When it finally reached the top of my bed, it stopped and turned towards my bed, looking straight ahead, and lifted its hand off of my bed. Dipping slightly, it started to reach for my shoulder, and right before it touched me, like really, this thing's hand was centimeters from touching my forearm. My dog woke up in real time, barked once, and he laid his head back down, startling me from my sleep. I sat straight up in my bed and looked around before looking at the time. It was about 10 minutes before 3 a.m. on October 25th. Freaky, right? Well, that's not where the story ends. The next morning, when I woke up, I went downstairs and told my friends, M and K, what had happened. They were rightfully freaked out. A few weeks later, K was staying over at my place again, and she told me her story that chilled me to my soul. She told me of a dream she had where me, her, and my boyfriend at the time were all driving in a car down a dark country road. I was driving, and my boyfriend was in the passenger seat, and K was in the back seat. She said in the dream she looked down at her phone, and when she looked up, she was in the driver's seat, and there was a black figure, the black figure, in the passenger seat. I was officially losing my damn mind. That night, we both slept in my bed in the loft. The next morning, she told me she had woken up and I wasn't in bed, so she turned on her phone flashlight and saw me sitting at the top of the stairs with a blanket over my shoulders, rocking back and forth. She called my name and I didn't respond, so she went back to bed. The next morning, she told me about this and I had absolutely no recollection of getting out of bed at all. To this day, I still find myself laying in bed fearing that the black figure will return. And sometimes I will find my dog staring at the corner of the room or an empty hallway and growling in a defensive position with the hair on his back standing straight up. My dog is my protector and my best friend. I fear one day losing him and encountering the black figure again, but this time he won't be there to protect me. I hope you enjoyed my spooky story. I have plenty of true crime stories that I will send in for you guys to read if you choose. Yes, please. Mm-hmm. I hope you ladies have a wonderful week. Stay spooky, Mandy. Oh my gosh. Best dog ever.
I know. Every time my cats stare off, just hyper-focus, I'm like, literally leave the ghost alone. Just leave it alone. I don't want to know it's there.
Same.
Our last story of the evening, or, well, it's not even evening. I'm so used to saying it because we used to record these at night. It's literally like one.
It's daytime.
It's literally 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know why. I'm just going to side note this. When we first started the podcast, Tara and I were like, I don't know why. It was like we would treat this like you guys would get home from work and like sit down and listen to the podcast.
Maybe some people do. Who knows?
I don't know. It was just weird. It was like, and it was like the way my brain thought. And I was like, maybe also not. Maybe they're just out living their life.
You were like emulating like nighttime talk show.
I was.
On radio.
I was.
Hey, I love that. So that's fine.
Yeah. That's just, oh, I wanted to be like, get up close to my mic and be like, thank you for joining this evening. But anyway, our last story comes from Ashley. She says, "Hey ladies, I don't know if y'all remember me, but I'm the one from Red Bluff that sent you a story sometime last year, and I was stoked when you guys read it on the pod."
Woo.
Well, you're welcome. We love reading stories from our listeners. Remember, send it to threesweeksgirls@gmail.com. "Before we moved to Kentucky, we lived in Watsonville, about 20 minutes from Santa Cruz." Watsonville, if you don't know, is like where a lot of your produce comes from, California. "I used to live in an apartment that was built in the 70s. Ghosts freaked me out, so when an unexplained noise happened, I chalked it up to neighbors' noises. Knocks, thuds, footsteps. Nah, not ghosts, just neighbors. Cut to one night, laying in bed, 8.5 months, heavy pregnant with my first kid. Her name is Lucy. Yes, just like that asshole from Peanuts that would take the football away from Charlie Brown before he kicked it. She was 11 pounds, 3 ounces at birth, thicker than a Snicker." I want to write that. Ashley wrote that. "Thicker than a Snicker and just as sweet. So when I was heavily pregnant, I mean heavily pregnant, I woke up because I was uncomfortable as hell. I tried to roll over onto my other side when I heard a sound like someone stacking dishes or putting dishes away, like plates being stacked one by one. I froze, listening as hard as I could. No one lived there but me and my boyfriend, now husband, and his ass was sawing some fat logs next to me." I love the way that Ashley writes this. "Yes, I could hear this dirty, rotten plate stacker over his snores." This gives me like a Yule Lads vibe.
I love this.
"I checked my phone. It's 4:30 a.m. I get up, grab a baseball bat. I painted it gold because it was ugly as shit and it needed an upgrade. Creep down the hall like a ninja was smuggling... like a ninja smuggling a beach ball." This is supposed to be a scary story. Ashley, you wrote this too funny. "I round the corner to the kitchen and boom, there was no one there. My plates were still in the dishwasher. I said out loud to my kitchen, 'I don't know who's dicking around in the kitchen, but knock that shit off.' That's a respectable response."
Yeah, that's how I talk to my ghost sometimes. So I'm just like, fucking stop.
Mine was fucking with my CO2 thing. So Sydney, if you're listening, I'll be putting in an order for a new CO2 monitor. Sydney's my apartment complex manager. "It stopped for about 2 or 3 months. The next time I was up feeding the milk monster, aka Lucy, she slept in our room in a bassinet next to the bed. So I was sitting up in bed, Lucy in my lap. My boyfriend is sleeping next to me with his useless ass nipples, and I hear it." Oh my God, Ashley, I love you so much. This is great. "A door knock coming from inside my closet. First of all, no fucking thank you."
Ew.
"You want to be a creepy ghost? Fuck right off. If you are relaxed, hang out. Alarm bells are going off in my head and I got a sinking feeling in my stomach. So I did what anyone else would do. I left the room." I love that you left your husband with his useless nipples.
He can fend for himself. It's fine.
"After that, weird shit kept happening. These things all happened for the remainder of the 5 years we lived there. One of the shelves I made them specifically light just in case they did fell off Lucy's wall. It should have fallen into her crib, but instead it somehow made it past her crib and landed on the carpet 2 feet in front of it. Like someone smacked it off the wall. After I had my second minion, Nora, we were in their room reading a book. I just so happened to look up and see a slightly crooked picture on their wall right itself." I like that the ghost was like, "I got you. I'm gonna just straighten this for you."
Helpful, but creepy.
Right. Like, there's like one ghost that's rude and one ghost that's like, "Come on, let's put it back."
I know.
Sorry. I'm like, my explanation is that there's like two there. I love it so much. "Their toys would go off randomly. And when no one was in the room, a couple of times, even after I turned them off, annoyingly, after the kids went to bed, both my kids would have randomly waved and smiled at the wall where no one is. And they both at the same time had extreme stranger danger levels and like zero people were outside the house."
Ew.
"My sister Danielle is pretty witchy with her aligned chakras and also reads rooms. We were on FaceTime one night and I was telling her about another weird story about my apartment. And I said, 'Yeah, I think it might be a kid because it seems to hang out in the girls' room quite a bit.' So she tells me to set my phone up so she can see the entire room and for me to sit in the middle of it. I love it. I plop my ass on the coffee table because it's in the center. Joke's on you if you thought it was the couch. I see her fur her eyebrows And she immediately says, oh, Granny is there. That was extremely shocking to me. In life, she was as much like sex and camping, which is to say fucking intense. Oh, Granny. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that expression, like sex and camping.
No, that sounds like not something I want to do because I don't like camping.
I was like, wait for that. No. Okay. She didn't really like anyone except our other sister, Tiffany, and my mom. And this was made blatant to everyone. So why was she hanging around my house pranking me? She was like, I'm gonna continue this in my death. Don't let death stop you from fucking with people. That's the theory of Granny. I talked to my aunt about it, and she said that she liked kids and to play pranks. In her heyday, she owned a diner and was known to make an ex-lax cake or two.
Stop. Could
imagine going to a diner and getting a piece of cake and then shitting yourself later?
No, see, this is smart, though, because you save it for the rude-ass patrons that come in, and you give them the shit. It's like the help. It's mm-hmm. the shit.
You're like,
it's the shit pie, but literally, this will make you shit.
Eat my shit.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. She would also feed you silly bullshit lines to see if you believed her. My mom in particular told me about this time when she was a kid. She asked Granny where she got her false teeth. Granny proceeded to tell her that she fished them out of a barrel in the Lake of the Ozarks. And when my mom looked at her in confusion, she followed up saying, everyone does. I feel like your granny and my granny are the same person. My mom admits to believing that way longer than she should. LOL, my mom was a dumb kid. That's what she wrote.
Aww.
Actually, don't let your mom hear that you wrote that. I'm not gonna edit it out, but I think it's funny. Okay. She also used to tell me and my siblings bears were in the backyard, crickets were in the garage, ghosts were in the back of the house, and the devil was in the basement. Granny, damn.
Savage.
She lived smack dab in the middle of suburbia. Oh, so there would be no bears in her backyard. I mean, crickets in the garage make sense, but like,
that's about it. You never know what's in the basement, though. You never know.
Oh, I know. The devil can be in anyone's basement. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that sounded like it was going to be like a Christian ad. The devil can be in anyone's basement, so protect your heart.
Ew.
I belong to this like Facebook group called It Worked. I'm a Christian now. And that's something that would be in there.
Oh my God.
Crickets in the garage. Duh. Oh, literally, we just got reading. Ashley agrees. Crickets in the garage. Duh. That makes the most sense. Ghost? Eh, possibly the devil. Given what I know about him, makes sense he's in the basement because he's supposedly under all of the earth's feet anyway.
I mean, the basement would make the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing good comes of basements in horror movies most of the time, so.
Very true. Pretty sure she didn't want any of us in the shed outside or messing with any of her breakables inside. This makes sense. She's like, don't fuck with my shit. The devil's downstairs. I'll go get him.
I love this.
This is parenting 101.
Taking notes.
Right. $1 million question. Should I tell my great grandma to hit the dusty old trail or just let her hang out? I figured if my kids aren't threatened by her, because even if you are a ghost, I will cosmically throw down if you even so much as give my kids a shiver of fear. I know I have more stories about her, but this story is years ago at this point. There's also the time I made the front page by taking my mom's car for a joyride at 2. Ashley!
At 2?
But that's for another time. Ashley, you must immediately write us the story.
Yes.
Like, stop what you're doing, write us this story. Okay. Love the podcast. It's the white noise in my ears when I'm doing laundry or in the grocery store. Oh my God, we're just talking about this like a Trader Joe's.
I love it.
Or when my children are being wild ass little farts, they are. Thanks so much for the entertainment. Thank you so much for the entertainment, Ashley. I'm so glad this was the last story because I feel like we went out on such a high note. Well, Ashley, your granny is wild.
Yes, that was great.
Okay. With that, we are going to sign off for this month with our listeners episode, and we will be back next time. Toodles.
Bye.